Okay, so going back to our story of development.
Yeah.
So I think most people probably can follow their own development up to this rational level,
right,
as you've described it.
Right.
So let's keep going from there.
Okay.
Up into the pluralistic, integral, and transpersonal.
Okay.
Take me step by step here, Ken.
Oh.
Wave by wave.
Wave by wave. Sociologists, Paul Ray, certainly one of them, have looked at what we're briefly talking about in terms of culture wars and found three very, very large populations in this country. And they tend to call them traditionalists, modernists, and postmodernists. And those actually represent very closely our general stages 3, 4, and 5. The traditionalist belief is a very sort of mythic membership belief. It's a fundamentalist belief, a belief in family values, biblical values, exactly that sort of level of development we were talking about that does tend to take the myths very, very literally and very concretely. And so they're traditional values because they're sort of good old-timey values, which is what they are. I mean, this wave of development goes back, you know, several thousand years, and it's certainly given sort of staunchest support in a type of traditional biblical orientation. Certain large faction of the Republican Party represents that wave of development. And, you know, again, it's not that these are right or wrong. It's that they're all of these levels of consciousness are out there. Everybody's born at square one anyway. So the conclusion of that is we're all Republicans when we're 8 years old. There are higher Republicans, too, so we don't want to get into that. But the traditional block is very large. Some people estimate it's maybe 25-30% of the population. And it's a very large voting block, large block of adult population. It also has its own wonderful contributions. I mean, sort of the solidity and the glue of almost any society has some kind of fundamental structure like that, with an emphasis on family values and so on. The next level five, and these are also in ourselves as well, next level is the general modern level. It's rational, it's individualistic. It gave rise to the industrial era and the scientific era, where the previous traditional or mythic wave was based in the lower right in an agrarian form of production. So it tends to be very, in a sense, it's very patriarchal, because agrarian societies put a great deal of emphasis on male power, whether it's operating a plow or getting engaged in war. It's a very physical, intense mode of production. The Industrial Revolution, because machines did so much work for men and women, it took an emphasis off of physical strength. And so it's only in industrial societies that you find, for example, a lessening of the demand for physical strength in the public sphere. And therefore, you find the rise of feminism. You find, for the first time in history, the abolition of slavery. For many reasons, but one of them is that the earlier levels of development couldn't afford to do without slavery because they didn't have enough power to produce economically in their own domains. So for the same reason that big boys make little boys carry their books, societies through archaic horticulture, agrarian, all had slavery till you get to the industrial wave. And then that outlawed slavery, basically, and tended to cause the liberation movements to occur sort of across the front. It's a very interesting level of development. It's also the first level, remember, we dealt with it with Carol Gilligan, it's called universal care. In other words, it's the first world-centric, not ethnocentric, level of development. So you get a concern with the universal rights of human beings, and not just rights for me if I'm a Christian, and if you're a Hindu, you go to hell, which all the previous ways tend to have that kind of ethnocentric orientation. So that's sort of the rational, formal level in ourselves. And then the next level, it starts to get really interesting, because as important as rationality is, it's still kind of scientific. It's still sort of reductionistic in a sense. It tends to turn into scientific materialism. It looks at the world as if it's composed of nothing but its and dirt and objects and so on. And so the next wave that we're calling pluralistic or postmodern tends to kind of, it's a much richer, more sensitive level. It looks at this sort of scientific worldview, but it starts including these interiors of I and we that tended to get left out in the over-anxious scientific approach. And so Claire Graves actually called this level the sensitive self. And sometimes it becomes almost hypersensitive. But you do get multicultural sensitivity, you get a pluralistic orientation, you get very strong concern on not marginalizing or excluding or oppressing anybody. And in that sense, it's a very sort of rich caring, in the best sense of the word, structure. And of course, all of these higher levels are universal care or higher. So they're all very compassionate structures. But the compassion tends to get deeper the higher you go, so to speak. And so this particular wave, this pluralistic postmodern wave, really tended to define the 60s generation and the boomer generation. It's the first major generation that actually had this wave as a center of gravity. And the healthy version of this wave brings in things like environmental reform, civil rights. The entire civil rights movement was driven in large measure by this wave of development. Feminism, healthcare reform, disabled legislation, really, really important civil rights agenda. And that is most of the people that run in our circles are at least at this wave of development. There's a very intense kind of multicultural sensitivity and a desire not to marginalize or exclude anybody. But the downside to that particular level is that it's not just pluralistic, it tends to fall apart. It tends to be very fragmented because you don't want to make any judgments that exclude people. You get paralyzed. So usually what happens, meetings run by this level of development, so to speak, it's just an endless conversation. And nobody wants to really reach a conclusion, so everybody processes and processes and processes. And the meeting is considered a success if everybody gets a chance to state their feelings. But nobody's really allowed to do anything, since a course of action would exclude somebody, and you're not allowed to exclude somebody. So everybody knows what that means, and we've all been exposed to that. And the positive sides of it are very positive. The downsides of it are death from boredom. It's just an absolute paralysis of will. And it turns ugly, and you get politically correct thought police and all the stuff that I've called boomeritis that's fairly prevalent. It's why a lot of people are very, in a sense, anxious for the next general wave of development, which is that after this particular stage sort of divides the world up into pluralistic multiple realities, the integral or holistic wave weaves them back together into big pictures. And it's the first wave. This is the sixth general stage or wave that we're talking about. We're calling it integral or holistic or integrated. It's the first that really looks at all of the previous levels, waves, stages, and tries to bring them all together into a coherent whole, into a big picture that allows all of them to have their own voice. And that's really very interesting. Research on this is pretty clear. Claire Graves especially did some really important research on this in terms of value structures. This is the first level that will let the other levels be themselves. If you take somebody with a postmodern orientation, somebody with a modern orientation, and somebody with a traditional orientation, and put them in a room together, they will be at each other's throats. They're not happy with each other's value structures. So you have, it's classically Democrats who tend to be in this rational to pluralistic camp, and Republicans that tend to be in the traditional to rational camp. And they just basically don't like each other's value structures. Somebody at the integral level can see a partial truth in each of the different positions. So the integral approach tends to be very, very, very at ease with people it meets. It meets people where it finds them. And it tends to be a kind of universal donor in terms of what it'll do with these other levels. It has a respect for them as they are and not as it wants them to be. And that's actually very interesting. Right now in this culture, about 25% of the population appears to be at this stage three traditional way. That is to say their center of gravity. About 40 or 50% seem to be at this rational, modern, industrial level. About 20 to 25% at the postmodern, pluralistic, informational level, about less than 2% of the population is at an integral wave or stage. So it's a very small portion of the population, actually, that has a center of gravity at this integral wave. They are, of course, every single person listening to us talk right now, because those are the people that are interested in the kinds of things we're saying, we hope. There is evidence that that 2% is growing and could, in fact, reach 5 to 10% within a decade. So we think we're really on the edge of a explosive growth in integral endeavors, integral awareness, integral consciousness in this country and in Europe in particular. And then briefly, just the highest wave we call transpersonal, and that's kind of a catch-all term. There's a lot of very transrational, transpersonal, transverbal states and stages of consciousness, and we can talk a little bit about those as well. They are the ones that particularly take on a very spiritual kind of orientation. And there are different ways to classify those, but we can talk about that later too. But those are kind of the seven major bands of consciousness that people have available to them. And ones are still operating right now.